You know, after hearing Tracy's testimony, I feel like, how can I follow that up? And so really what I'm going to do this morning is I'm not going to go through my whole message. I'm going to kind of, after hearing what Tracy was saying and hearing and just being able to listen to what she's experienced and how God has brought her through that, what a powerful testimony. What a powerful work, because I think so often I love what Tracy also said, that she knows she's still going to make mistakes. She knows she's not perfect, but she's going to trust in God. And I think so often when we think about our life, we think, oh, follow Jesus and everything will be made like perfect, right? There won't be any suffering. You won't, you know, everything will be like really good and nice and perfect. And that the thing is, that's not promised to us. But what is promised to us is that God will always be with us. Right? When we look at the story of baptism through the Bible, I mean, we see from the very beginning, when we look at Genesis, when God created the world and everything in it, the heavens and the earth, we see that it was that he brought order out of chaos. Right? What does it say in the beginning? That the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit was hovering over the waters, the depths. It was void. It was formless. It was a place where life is not possible. And yet, what did God do? He brings life from the void, from the chaos. And God separates. He separates the waters from waters. He separates the light from the darkness. He separates the seas and the dry land. And from that dry land, he brings life. God creates order and a place where life can flourish. And he brings it out of that chaos where life cannot exist. But as we continue to read on in Genesis chapter 3, that because of Adam and Eve's sin, because of humanity's sin, it brings and unleashes chaos back into God's created order. What God had made to be good and perfect and just is now ruled by sin and death, broken relationships, injustice, oppression. And what God did to bring life and separating things, right? Separating the waters from the waters, the light from dark, is now become this rescue mission. Where it's not just about separating, but what God's rescue mission will be is going, leading us through the water. He's not going to take it away, not just yet. He's going to make a way through for us. We see this continuing on in the story of Noah. And we see God's provision of his salvation through the chaotic waters, through that flood that came to destroy. Through Noah, God remembers him. God remembers and rescues humanity through this one family. And as he saves them through the waters, he brings them to dry land to start life anew. Peter mentions this in his first letter as well. And then we see in Moses' story, in the Exodus, we see how this theme continues, where even as Moses as a baby was delivered through the waters of death, he was delivered through the Nile into Pharaoh's home. But not only that, when God called him and remembered his covenant to Abraham and to all of their ancestors of Israel, he remembers them and uses Moses to bring them through the Red Sea. He brings them out of slavery, out of death, parts the waters, makes a way through for them, brings them to the base of Mount Sinai. And makes a covenant with them. and says that I will be your God and you will be my people if you would listen to me. He invites them to be their representatives to the nations. And we move on and see that after Israel's disobedience and their wandering through the desert, 40 years after the Exodus, a new generation arises, and the leader Joshua is going to lead them into the promised land. But just like their ancestors, just like the previous generation, although it's not through the Red Sea, it's through the Jordan. And so we have this idea, this pattern continuing throughout the rest of the Bible of God not taking the waters away, but leading his people through the waters, making a way through. But just as all of these people all throughout Scripture have failed to be the perfect one to follow us, we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus. And we see how every gospel account that talks about Jesus' his baptism, it shows us and reinforces all of these ideas. When we look at Mark chapter 3, it says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. In the Jordan. We ought to be thinking of this, in the Jordan. Immediately coming up out of the waters, he saw the heavens opening, right? It should be reminding us of this, where the heavens open and the rains come down and the waters rush and flood and destroy everything. The Spirit, like a dove, descending on him, like the Holy Spirit hovering over the chaos waters and the chaotic waters. And a voice coming out of heaven saying, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. This pattern, this language that he's using is deliberate. It's to tell us and show us that God is not going to take the waters away, but he will lead us through it. And he leads us through Jesus Christ. God announces in this very famous passage, God announces that his son, Jesus, will rescue the world from the chaos of human evil and violence by going into death and out through the other side. This is why baptism is such a big deal for Christians. This is why those who place their faith in Jesus should be baptized. Because we are participating in this biblical pattern that thousands of years ago people have been doing. We get to participate in this. But it's an expression, baptism, of our identity in Christ. We identify with Christ. We identify with his death through the waters. And we identify with his life in him, the newness of life. How amazing is this? Is it not? I mean, I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about how now I have kind of three cultures of the American, the British, and the Korean, right? And we were talking about, you know, some of the ways that, my identities are clashing, right? But in talking about my Korean heritage, right, and background, all of these traditions that even though I'm at the moment kind of like I'm still trying to work through, I realize that there is a long line of people. That's what the tradition is, has gone through generation after generation after generation. And it's something that is, I don't know, for me, when I think about tradition or when I think about history or all of these things, I get moved. right? Like a few weeks ago, we went to Cape and Ray and to hear the story and the legacy of that place through the work of Major Ian Thomas and how he just worked to reconcile German and British young people after World War II. Just being there moved me because I'm sitting in a place where there's so much history, a legacy of God working through his people through the waters and bringing new life. And in the same way, this is what we celebrate in baptism. That folks like Tracy and Andrew, who'll share his testimony next week at the beach, but so many of us in this room, we get to participate in a long line of believers, of people faithful to God from the very beginning, where we identify with Christ in his death and in his life. And so when we look at through the waters and into new creation, we look at our identity and we are made right with God, right? We are made right with him through his life, his death, and his resurrection. The finished work of Jesus Christ. We have been made right with God. We have died to our sins and been brought into new life through the power of the Holy Spirit. But until then, we wait. We wait until Jesus returns to fully establish his rule of peace and justice in the new heavens and the new earth. But while we wait, what do? While we still have to navigate through the chaos waters, as we have to wade through the waters of sin and death, as we have to go through the chaos of this world, what do we do while we wait? We trust. We trust in the Holy Spirit to lead us through these tumultuous seas of life. We trust that the Holy Spirit will lead us through the waters of sin and death, and that he will bring us into new life, whether he calls us home to heaven or he returns to establish his kingdom in its fullest of glory. And while we wait, we act. We act. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to move and be a source of life and blessing to those around us, pointing people to the only one who can lead us through the waters, pointing us to Jesus, the one who died the death that we deserve, lived the life that we could not live, but saved us and made a way for us. So as we reflect on the beautiful testimony of the beautiful testimony of God's faithful work in Tracy's life, as we reflect on God's faithful work in our lives, as we think about the waters that we have to navigate through, brothers and sisters, trust in the one who has made a way for us. Trust in his ways. Trust that though we are surrounded by these chaos waters, that he doesn't leave us abandoned. He doesn't leave us to fight on our own strength. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. No, he leads us through these things so that people like you and me, who before Christ were living for ourselves at the cost and expense of others, are now transformed through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, giving people hope in this broken and sinful world, pointing them to the source of life and blessing.